I said the Lord is good. I know you believe it, so give me an amen.
Amen.
Let's declare quickly, I am being filled with the knowledge of His will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respect. I am bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing the knowledge of God. See, the word of God is coming forth. I am learning to pray. And my prayers are being answered. Because I pray according to His will. And I have a confidence that He will hear me. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe, you give me an amen again. All right. On Saturday, if you were around, I talked about the fact that grace is what we need to possess the land. It is not because of our effort. It's not our methods that we have learned. Not the certain set of principles that you say, okay, when you do this, you do that. I've said it again and again. Many of the things we analyze, all right, and then turn them to principles. We must be careful to remember that those who practice them, from whose lives we brought those things out, were not consciously practicing those things. They were just living. Are you getting my point? They were just living. So the question is, what kind of life were they living that brought out those principles out of their lives? People say that dress, that's one of my favorite examples. Dress like where you are going to. And I agree that you should, you know me, I believe that everybody should look neat. I'm a disciple of John G. Lake in that area. He believes as a preacher, you should look like you are representing an important person. That's John G. Lake for you. Do you understand? Now, and so it's good. And like I said, we do things because they are right to do. So it's good to look responsible. It's good to look decent. However, John the Baptist gathered one of the largest crowds Israel had ever seen. And you don't want to look like him. You are getting my point. John the Baptist didn't have decent clothes. Even Jesus said, if you are looking for those who have nice clothes, you go to king's palaces. You understand? John the Baptist just wore goatskin hair, a cloth, and then he was out there. No, didn't have a very decent bathroom to use. Yet, his ministry succeeded. So you see, that's not the primary thing. Now, we're not saying, some people now say, yeah, that's a sign of a man of God. You look like John the Baptist. Well, if I have to choose between John the Baptist and Jesus Christ, I think I'll choose Jesus Christ. And he did not look like John the Baptist. When they killed John the Baptist, nobody remembered what he was wearing. When they wanted to kill Jesus Christ, they removed his clothes. And they were ready. Now, I want to understand something. They were ready to cut it and share it. Unless they now realize that, no, this is a designer garment. And the cloth was woven from one end to the other, no seam. They said, why destroy it? All right? Now, that was Jesus Christ. So you see, was that the key to his ministry? The only person that used that cloth to get healed was one woman. You get my point? One woman touched the hem of his garment. Maybe that cloth was important for the healing of that woman, but for most other people, it was not relevant. So I'm trying to say that was not the thing that made their ministries. So when you see those things play outwardly, they may reflect something that's happening inwardly, but those things are not the primary things that are happening. So you must understand that point. So that is when, let's even forget the closing thing. Now, the example there, I heard somebody teach long ago, was when he was talking about Joseph. That Joseph dressed in such a manner that he could appear before Pharaoh. But I said, no, Joseph didn't dress so he could appear before Pharaoh. They dressed him up to appear before Pharaoh. He didn't have clothes. I don't think you get my point. He was a prisoner. Somebody placed it upon him. But what brought Joseph to that point where people were dressing him up to appear before Pharaoh? I told you last time, our former vice chancellor gave a testimony of how he became the vice chancellor of the university. People were struggling for the position, and yet somebody told him one day, why don't they go and follow up what's going on at Abuja? That's the federal headquarters, all right? And then he said, I don't have money to go. And they contributed money, his friends, and said, take, go. You see, it was good he went, but then why was he in a position where his friends thought he would be a good man to contribute money to give to? Those are the things we are talking about. So these principles are not that somebody has learned how to do this, do that, do that. No, there is a place you get to in life, in working with God. You attract things to yourself. The wisdom of God rises from inside you All right? And manifest as your own position dictates. John the Baptist could not have dressed like Jesus Christ. Don't ask me why. I don't know why too. And Jesus could not have dressed like John the Baptist. They were two totally different people. And their ministries were different. And I believe very strongly, it manifested in how they dressed. It manifested in how they looked. But that was not the primary thing. The thing came out naturally. So when we're talking about possessing the land, let's not learn principles from people that did not even know when they were doing those things. They were just living their lives and those things just happened. It just happened. Or do you follow my point here? Joseph did not plan to go to prison. Prison went to him. See the way I said it? He didn't plan to go to prison. Somebody took him and tossed him inside prison. You cannot scheme so that your boss's wife will try to tempt you, and then you will refuse, then she will shout, and then they will wrongly accuse you. By the time you can go to that detail, you are a god. You are God yourself. Are you getting my point? But you can't do that. Yet it happened to him. So we cannot take the step of his life as one thing we must follow so as to get to that point. All right? Many people got to places as great and did not go to any prison. They had their temptations, but did not go to any prison. God had different methods for dealing with each individual. The sufferings of Jacob was not at any time experienced by Isaac. Yet it was the same inheritance. But in this different life, it manifested differently. So I want us to just remember that when we are dealing with all of these things. So why am I saying that? What we need to succeed in life, what we need to possess our land is what? Grace. What did I call it?
Grace.
Let me hear one more time.
Grace.
Listen, grace is what we need in life. Now let's read a particular scripture. Let's read for 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to talk about grace briefly. Grace to possess the land. On Saturday, we have been looking at that. Last time I emphasized it thoroughly. That's last Saturday when I was teaching about it. That what we need to do in life is to set ourselves up, all right, to receive grace. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's a scripture we all know. Paul was talking about his life. He said that, we are talking about different things. So as to save time, let me just get down to the main thing I want to say, read here. He was talking about the fact that Jesus appeared to different ones. And then last of all, he said in verse 8, he appeared to me also. That is one, he appeared to me also, one untimely born. He said in verse 9, for I am the least of the apostles and not fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his power toward me did not prove vain. But I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. That is, the grace of God was working in me and working through me, and that resulted in labor. He said, whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now let me just explain what Paul was explaining here, was saying here again. That is, I got a lot of results. The Bible you have in your hand, he has in the, what is referred to as the Old Testament, the Law and the Prophets, and then he has what is called the New. That New Testament, half of it was written by Paul, about half of it. Now, he did all of this, and you look at the world today, we just read his words, and you can be sure that in thousands of places, as we are speaking here, somebody else is reading it in a congregation, and I said thousands. If you count the individuals that are probably reading it, they're probably millions. You check those who are forwarding it up and down, his words, over the internet, over the communication networks. There are millions of people today that will forward the words of Paul. And Paul said, did I try to do it? No. Now, even before now, in those days, he did a lot of evangelism, conquered new territories, so that when you check the amount of people that were reached by Paul, and then you count the people that James, John, Peter, all right, and cool. All of those people that they reached, you put them together, it was not as much as people reached by Paul. And he said, was it my effort? No, it was not. And that's what he was saying. How did they come to be? He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Whatever it is that is working in my life, it's not my effort. It is the grace of God that's working with me. Let me just explain it again, just to remind those of us who know it. It's a reminder for those who don't know it. It's a teaching. The word grace is often misrepresented. The word grace is a word in itself, and you have to learn what it means. Are you getting my point? Yes, it's its own word. You must learn what it means. The word in the Bible is charis, as New Testament, all right? It's charis. The word grace in the Bible, in the New Testament, does not mean favor or merited. You sat down, you did not merit it. I am not trying to imply that you merit it. I'm trying to emphasize the forceful side of favor and of grace. Grace in the scriptures refers to the manifestation of the power of God. Do you understand my point? It is the power of God that is released towards those who believe. That is, grace is an aggressive force. It's something that works. It's not passive. We think about it as if it is passive. No. When the Bible says that by grace you have been saved through faith, well, there are two sides to it. One, in that particular context, Paul was trying to emphasize that it is not because of your work. It's not of yourselves, but it is a gift of God. That is, what I emphasize, that grace does not come because you worked for it. He was saying the manifestation, because you must understand, forgiveness of sin is not free. To cleanse a man, a woman who was a sinner and make the person pure is not free. It consumes spiritual energy. The amount of spiritual energy that God uses to cleanse one human being, I believe, do you understand? If you were to convert it to electrical energy, it will power the whole world for a month. Now, I don't know whether 1 month is enough. I'm not saying something like that. It's a lot of energy. It's a lot of energy because these spiritual things can be converted to material things. If God convert, look, to make you a new creation in Christ Jesus, it takes spiritual energy. If they brought that spiritual energy to physical realms, listen, it will power the whole globe. They want enough to change one individual. These things are spiritual, these things are powerful. So that thing, that power is what the Bible calls grace. It's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. But grace does not mean I'm just sitting down doing nothing. It means the power of God is manifested through me. My best explanation for the word grace is from the book of Ephesians chapter 1 when Paul was teaching, when Paul was praying for them. He said, I pray for you that you will understand the hope of his calling and the power that works towards those who believe. That's what I want to emphasize. There is a power that works towards those who believe. That is what the Bible calls grace. That power that works towards those that believe is what he calls grace. In that Ephesians, when he was talking about in chapter 2, that is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. He said, by grace you have been saved through faith. Grace is always activated by faith. Before I get to the faith matter, let me finish what I'm going to say about grace. Grace means that God's power is working towards you. If you ask Israel, how did you take over the land? They will say it was by the grace of God. Not the way human beings look at it. I don't know what I get my point. As if I don't know what happened though. No, Joshua knows what happened. Joshua knows that he defeated the people in battle. Joshua knows that, alright, or he knew that there was a time he spread forth his spear when they went to Ai to fight, alright, and they had victory. Joshua knew there was a time they surrounded Jericho and they went around Jericho again and again and again until the walls of Jericho came down at the blast of the trumpets. Joshua knew, or let's go back to Moses. Moses knew that there was a time they were fighting. He had to keep his hands up so that victory could be on their side. He knew they had to send men to battle. He knew they had to fight and contend with people in battle to possess the land. Yet when you ask him, he says it was by the grace of God. He wasn't saying, I don't know what happened. He was just saying that the power to do all of these things was the power of God. Most times people say that it's God's grace. What it means is that I don't know what happened though. No, that's not what grace means. Grace means something happened. What was it that happened? The power of God moved. The power of God moved on my behalf. And it did things I could not have done for myself. That's the meaning of the word grace. Grace means that a spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. Are you getting my point? Grace means I went for the interview. You know, people look at it and say, okay, I went for an interview. I just don't know what happened. They just looked and said, oh, you look like the Son of God. So you didn't take anybody else, so I was the one that got the job. Praise the Lord. It happens. I'm not saying such things don't happen. It's good, amen, when it happens. But let me assure you, the chances that somebody will look at you and say, you look like a child of God in an interview, trust me, it's very slim. Very, very slim. Are you saying that a child of God cannot get a job? A child of God can get a job. But let me tell you how the child of God gets most of the time. They will say, fine, child of God, where are you? Say, which school did you go to? You mentioned one school they've never heard of before. What degree did you, course did you study? You mention a course that they're not excited about. What grade do you have? You mention a grade that they wonder whether you are very serious. And there are 10 people that came for the interview. Then one guy comes, secondary school, King's College, university. Look for one in UK for me. I don't know. University of Birmingham. After that, MBA, MIT. And they go like that. Those are the kind of people that are there. Oh, I forgot to mention, four of them are related to either a past president, Aliko Dangote. Do you get my point? People like that, they are related. So that employing them will give those people favor with big men. And then they now say, time for the interview. And you open your mouth to speak. And the spirit comes upon you. Like the one that Jesus said he would give to the disciples when they are standing before for trials in persecution. So that you have a mouth and a wisdom. Do you get my point? That those men finish listening to. And they say, can we find the one as wise as this one is? He seems to know the job more than these boys that went to all kinds of schools. They said, but that's Aliko Dangote's nephew. He said, I beg, leave this thing. When the company collapses now, Dangote will stop doing business with us. Let's employ a man that will ensure the company never collapses. That is what grace does. Grace makes Daniel 10 times wiser than the boys from Babylon. I hope you're getting my point. Grace makes Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego 10 times wiser than those boys from Babylon or from the other provinces. That is what grace does. It's not as if grace just says that, I don't know what happened. They just employed me. And today I'm still trying to get used to it. Listen, grace can do that once in a while. And when it happens, we thank the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
But please, many Christians believe for such miracles and they don't happen often. The kind of thing that grace does is that grace proves to people that you can get your certificate from the most advanced country in the world. I sat in my house. I read my books. I used the internet, gathered information. And God gave me wisdom. That when you spoke, and I spoke, they thought I was the one that went to school where you went to. And you were the one that went to my school. That is what grace does. Sometimes Christians, we like too much of this, I just don't know what happened though. Listen, let me please get me right. Sometimes we don't know what happens. Some things that we don't know happens. Do you understand my point? It happens once in a while. But most times you will know what happened. And what will happen is that your name is David. Goliath will come against you with a spear, with javelin, with an armored bearer carrying something bigger than you. Yet you will take your stone and then you will sling it. Sling it, you will realize that, look, I am better. Check, Goliath is waiting for us to have hand-to-hand combat. It's war. There's no law. You take your stone, you look at it, say, hey, this man is a man of war. Very good. But he's waiting for me to come close. I won't come close. He said, come to me. You know, that's what he told David. David said, when should I come to you? When my stone can come to you? You get the point? David took the stone, fium, and hit the man in the head. David knew what happened. It's not as if, hey, brethren, praise the Lord. I was just going. As I was just approaching, Goliath just had a heart attack and died. Worship the Lord. Amen. Praise. Once in a while, it happens. Amen?
Amen.
It can happen. However, most times, what will happen is that David will have a skill that Goliath doesn't know about. And with that skill, he will knock Goliath down. Let me just make this statement and I get back to my message. I feel like I should take everybody here. Believe in and expect the manifestation of divine wisdom. I'm about to digress. You hear what I said?
Yes,
sir. So all of you, please, remember where I was. Let's agree on where I was, all right? Where am I right now? I was telling a story about Goliath and David, and the fact that David knew what to do, and that grace can give you skill. Yeah, thank you. Good. All right? So remember that too. So when I say, where was I? You will tell me what I've just told you now. Are we agreed? I want to say something to children of God before I go on. I was listening to Kenneth Hagin. He said something very instructive, very powerful. I'll tell you what he said, then I'll not tell you what I want to say. He said that people think that the manifestation of spiritual gifts has to be most of the times in church, in a large congregation. So as I'm standing here, I will see, the Lord just shows to me that there's somebody here, this is happening. Okay, you become the person forward, you lay hands on the person, or you give a word, or I have it, you know, things like that. So that's what most Christians think concerning spiritual gifts, the manifestations. He said, but actually it's not like that. He said, go and read the Bible. You will find out that most spiritual gifts manifested in private. When Naaman was healed by Elisha, it was in private discussion. The king said, go to him. He went there. The man didn't even come out. Told the man, go and dip in the Jordan 7 times. He didn't even come out to him. When they went to the Jordan, there was no congregation. It was just a servant. Are you following that?
Yes, sir.
Read, when Elijah went to the house of the widow of Zarephath, we only know Elijah and the widow. They were the ones present when the thing began to happen. When the Shunammite woman received her son, when the boy was raised, the same set of people. There was no church clapping and singing and worshiping before the raising of the dead. Let's worship the Lord, worship, worship, worship. Most people that Jesus healed, he just walks up to them. Do you want to be made whole? Yes. I've been here for 38 years. I don't know what's been happening. I've been here for such a long time. Get up, take your pallet and walk. Private. Most spiritual manifestations he was emphasizing are in private. I want you to understand that. Now, we need to first get that so that you stop waiting to get to church to get a word of knowledge. That's the first thing I want to explain. Bear that in mind. I want to explain another thing. Most people think manifestation of spiritual gifts is only for preachers. That is the one I need to get people to understand. When Paul was writing about it, he was writing to a whole congregation in that 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And he said, I want you all to know about spiritual things. I now began to tell them about 3 groups. Diversities of gifts, operations, and administrations. He said, to anyone that it is given for the profit of everybody. Now, the thing is that the thing is given as the Spirit wills. Nobody can control it. But he never implied that it was something that happened only to preachers. In fact, let me tell another person's story. The demon Shekinah will tell you. He said he was in the ministry of helps. But he used to pray for the sick a lot. But they organize programs and he'll be in front ministry. Left that to the preachers. But somebody walks up to him. Please, I've been sick. He lays hands on the person. And many times, there are serious manifestations there. That is one thing I want us to understand. Those things were not given to preachers. Are you getting my point? That's my first point. Now, having explained that point, I want to bring up another issue. There is an expression in that 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I don't want to open to it because of time, that's called, Paul listed 9 spiritual gifts. And one of them, he said, is a word of wisdom. That was the first one he mentioned. And when we are classifying them, we said they are the revelation gifts. And there are 3. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. I have listened to a lot of people. I have read my scriptures. I have come to, and then, because I talk to people a lot of times, and if you're ever discussing with me, I always ask for a word of wisdom. And many times when I talk to people, I feel the manifestation of it. And I will listen to David Paulson, and he taught me that one. He specifically even asks for word of knowledge sometimes when he's counseling people. I hardly do that. But that word of wisdom thing, I always ask, and I'll tell you my reason in a moment. Now, this is the general interpretation that I learned, and many people believe, that a word of wisdom, what's a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom? Some say a word of knowledge is something you know that's happening right now or happened in the past. Let me give you an example. Somebody tell you that, okay, maybe a man is preaching, tells you that, look, I just have a revelation, there's somebody here that this is happening to you. They say that's a word of knowledge, and that is true, that's not wrong, all right? But what's the word of wisdom? Many preachers say that if that knowledge is about something that happened now and in the past, it's a word of knowledge. But if something that will happen in the future is a word of wisdom. Now, please listen. I don't think so. I think the word of wisdom means what it says. It's a word of Wisdom. That's my reason. People must understand there's what the Bible calls visions and revelations, which is slightly different from what Paul listed there. So sometimes we confuse some of these things, but I'm not teaching on that now. I just want to emphasize the issue of the word of wisdom. When the Bible says there is a word of wisdom, you know what it means? It means there is a word of wisdom. I mean, it is wisdom. That's what he says. Don't say something that will happen tomorrow. I can't accept that because there's no scriptural reason to say so. A lot of things that will happen tomorrow is still a word of knowledge. Some of them is what the Bible calls revelations. Paul said, now I will now come to visions and revelations. There was times I started talking about that. So let me now come to visions and revelations. So there are visions and revelations which are slightly different from this list. But again, let me just teach you what I'm trying to say today. Let me not stray to too many things. What is a word of wisdom? That's my emphasis. A word of wisdom is a word of wisdom. It is what? Wisdom. Please, everybody say it. Wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom simply is, the way we know what wisdom is, the ability to make good judgment. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge and apply it correctly. Wisdom is to have discretion and be able to judge properly. As an example, and there are so many examples of words of wisdom in the Bible. Two young harlots came to a younger king. A small boy, a teenager, was on the throne. And they brought a problem that experienced men would have found hard to solve. If Ahithophel, who lived before that time, could have solved it, it would not have impressed everybody. Think about it. No DNA testing. Two little children. You know the story. The child is hers. No, it's mine. The dead one is hers. The living one is mine. Then the young boy suddenly woke up and said, all right, give me a sword. Divide them in two. Give the living one, half of the living one to, you know, very funny, because by the time you finish dividing them, everybody's going to be dead. Are you getting my point? But you know the rest of the story. Let me not bore you with the details. Of course, the true mother said, oh, sorry, if that's the case, let the other woman have it. And the other woman said, no, let's divide it. Solomon said, you are obviously not the mother. It is now common knowledge to us. But the first time he used it, it was supernatural wisdom. It's not common wisdom to what I'm going to say. But when he first used it, it was supernatural wisdom. That was a word of wisdom. Why is it a word of wisdom? Because the next two harlots already know the story. I don't know whether you're getting my point. You didn't get it. If two harlots will come again, they know that story. You can't use it again. When they say, cut them into, both of them will say, no, 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 don't cut. That is why it's a word of wisdom. It may not work tomorrow. When that problem shows up again, whoever is there will have to download new wisdom. That is what the Bible calls a word of wisdom. I don't know why we Pentecostals decided to define it the other way. If you can tell me why, please show me later. Maybe I will revise what I'm saying. But I couldn't find it. I said, why don't I just stick with it? Wisdom is what? Wisdom. There are some wisdoms that come forth, and they are very supernatural. What I mean is that the logic of what Solomon did, we can easily understand it. But there are some that is not easy to understand. Hezekiah was sick. God said, put your house in order, for you will live. You will die and not live. And then the story was changed. God said, you will live for 15 more years. And Ezekiel now gave a word. Isaiah now gave a word. The man had a wound in his leg. He said, put a cake of figs on that wound and it will heal. If the wound was enough to kill him, I have two suggestions as a doctor, diagnosis. Either it was a diabetic ulcer, or it was a malignancy, it was a form of cancer. There may be other ones, but to make it easy, in none of these two do you cure with a cake of leaves. I don't know whether you're getting my point. But it was something they had to do so as to get the man cured. And it worked. It could be a working of miracles. I don't know. But let's just leave it as wisdom concerning what to do. Sometimes people download wisdom from above that we start using regularly. And we forgot that it was supernatural at the beginning. If you have a phone, no, if you have a computer, a DVD player, or a pointer for teaching in class, all those things use laser beams. In 1986 or so, Charles Townes won the Nobel Prize for the background technology, the application of physics that brought that thing to light. And years later, he won the John Templeton Prize because he wrote an article on how he got the revelation, the understanding. And he said, if prophets said they had revelation, that was the closest I ever had to it. I was sitting on a park bench one day when the idea dropped in my mind. The man said it was an epiphany. It was not because I knew physics, even though my own understanding is that his knowledge of advanced physics and chemistry formed a background for him to be able to receive wisdom. There are levels of wisdom you can't receive because your heart can't handle it. If God gave you that kind of wisdom, you won't know what it meant. The man wrote it, I think, in one MIT journal or something. And for that article, he was awarded the John Templeton Prize. What is the John Templeton Prize? John Templeton is a man like Nobel. Just like Nobel, Alfred Nobel had a lot of money and he wanted to advance knowledge. So he said, okay, give these prizes to those who do things like this. So they have Nobel Prize for physics, they have Nobel Prize for medicine and physiology, they have for economics, you have for peace, you have all stuff like that, okay? Now, John Templeton said, I want to advance the knowledge of the spiritual. So anybody that produces something that helps people understand better spiritual things, he gives a John Templeton Prize. Now, why I'm talking about that is that many of us don't realize that what men like that received were words of wisdom. We think word of knowledge only is when the pastor says, just begins to prophesy. There's somebody here, this won't happen to you, this won't happen to you. Let's realize that these things are not only church things. They are spirituals. Paul said concerning pneumaticals, that is concerning the things of the Spirit. And everyone who is a believer is a person of the Spirit. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
If you have been born of the Spirit, give me an amen.
Amen.
That is, this is supposed to be a part of your life. Why are you leaving it for the pastor alone? Let's talk about that wisdom further. It means when you are in an office, when you are doing your business, expect the kind of word that Solomon had to solve a difficult problem. That is, when you bow your head to pray, either in the morning before you start your day's business, or before you want to start a meeting, or there is a problem that comes to your desk, you bow your head. Let me give simple words. Expect a manifestation. What did I say?
Expect a manifestation.
Say it again.
Expect a manifestation.
Listen, it's crucial. They said, do this design that has never been done before. Don't say it can't be done. Go home and pray and expect a miracle. You think miracle is only for human beings? Go and read the Moshe Karian's book. Miracle happened to his cattle. They tested them. Thousands of cattle were to be slaughtered because they were positive for tuberculosis. And he was sitting down home watching TV or listening to radio, one of the two. And a man said, the cattle on the thousand hills belong to God. He said, is that so? He carried the phone, picked up the phone and called the man. Did you say God actually owns the cattle? Yes, they are about to slaughter his cattle. So the man came, and the Moshe carried and said, he man prayed the kind of prayer he was not used to. It was not a prayer of God, though. See your cattle, have mercy on your cattle. The man came and said, tuberculosis, will you get out of here? It was an angry prayer the man prayed, drove tuberculosis out of the place. The next day, the men came to test the animals before they start slaughtering them. All the animals had been killed. Is it grace made him a multi-millionaire breeding cattle? How many of us remember to lay hands on your fowl when they say bird flu is coming? Say bird flu. Let me show you that these are my birds. You start laying hands in the name of Jesus. I bless you, Kokoroko. Next one, I bless you. You bless all your fowls one by one. Expect a miracle in your business. Expect a manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. You are not going to... Listen, let me tell you something. Do you know, as a... that spirit that was on Joseph is still available for businessmen today. One, you will wake up, have a dream. You know where dollar is going next year. You will wake up one day, have a dream. I mean, you will sleep one day, you have a dream. And you will realize that this noise about crude oil. You will just, God will just give you an idea of what the price will be next year. Go and read your Bible well. When Pharaoh became the richest king on the earth at that time, it was Joseph that made him rich. And if you look at the systematic arrangement, one, only Joseph, of course, Pharaoh and the household, Joseph understood that the economy next year will be bad. You know, he said the economy will start booming from next year, and it will boom severely for 7 years. After that, it will tank. And as it's going down, it's going to go so down, it will wipe out the memory of the previous 7 years. If you have that kind of wisdom today, I hope you know you're a billionaire tomorrow. Let me summarize that there. Why is everybody... Did you read in your Bible that Joseph was a prophet? Joseph was not a prophet. He was a prisoner. He was a good administrator. That is what grace is. What did I say? That's what grace is. Grace is when God starts manifesting things like this. People just expect that all spiritual manifestations are only for preachers alone. A friend of mine prayed for a woman that was having serious... She was in labor for a long time. The husband came to the office. And my friend saw the husband. What's going on? Told the man, told the colleague the story. I said, come now, let me pray for you now. This was an oil company office. It was not church office. Let me pray. Father, you know, just pray one nice simple prayer. The man got back to hospital. The wife delivered smoothly. He came back and said, this is where I'm going. He said, why did you not tell me you were a pastor? He said, so you're a pastor. You didn't tell me. Why? Because the young man prayed and God answered. It's not a pastoral privilege. It's a privilege of every child of God. That's what I'm saying. Expect a manifestation. What does grace do? Grace tells you, fine, we are going tomorrow to bid for a job. Now you expect a manifestation. There is a revelation that grace gives you concerning what will please the panel. You can be bidding. And of course, one of the important things, I mean, I've worked on panels on that small level in my hospital, in my commercialized unit. One of the things we go for, first of all, is low price. Do you understand? If you are bidding for a job, your price has to be, well, first principle, the lowest. But that's not all. You weigh that with your experience. If you want to build a skyscraper and the highest thing you've ever built is the hut that you built for your grandfather, no matter how low your quotation is, we won't know if you want to sign. You're getting my point. So we have that also. Then we have the fact that, okay, you have been our supplier for some time. Are you consistent? The last two awards we gave you, you did not supply. We throw you out. Okay, this man, work has to go on. Except that during our meetings, all these things must be documented to explain why you had the lowest quotation and you did not get the job. I don't know why you're getting my point. We have to document all of these things because somebody can go and write a petition against you tomorrow that they bribe members of the panel. And if really you can't explain why, even though he had the lowest price, he didn't get the job, you were bribed. So we document all of these things. Now, why am I going to all of this? So you are going for something like that. Maybe you are putting a quotation for, let's say, 13.6 million. We'll get it done. And you wait your profit on it. And God just wake up one day before you go. Holy Spirit just says, oh boy, you don't need that much money in your life. You can pay your staff and do all of these things and still go home happy. Make it 12.9. You're like, ah. Something you just says 12.9. With the requisite experience, you have the requisite experience, you have every other thing in place. And the Holy Spirit just says 12.9. In your mind, what is this 12.9 that's disturbing me every day? You go on the road as your speedometer is going, it reads 12.9. You buy fuel, it happens to be 1,290 naira that's your change. 12.9. Then you should know the Holy Spirit is telling you something. Check that paper out, change your quotations, 12.9. You'll be surprised. You go in, you bid, the next quote was 12.950. That's how the Lord does it. He said it was grace, so let me tell you grace. Grace drove your quotation to the minimum. And said, you will get the job. By the time they finish, you have the experience, you're a responsible person, they know you, you will deliver. They look at it, the other man that was close to you, maybe even better than you, he has more experience. He also can deliver, but they look at it and say, no, you have met the minimum qualifications, but you still beat his quotation by 50,000 naira. So we are sorry. Let's give it to this man. You come back and say, and I did not know anybody. You knew the Holy Spirit. He told you. Quote 12.9. Are you seeing the way it works? This is an interesting story. Once, I think I've told the story here before. I was just browsing through my book. I had a lecture coming up when I first came to Enugu. I had a lecture coming up. And like I think, you know, students do it. They have a new lecturer. It's by those brilliant students. They want to test the new lecturer. They did not know I was an anointed lecturer. Yeah. Before I entered into class, I was just playing through one book I brought from Lagos. I got to a segment. I just read something. I didn't even realize it was like this. I just read it and closed the book. Not part of my lecture. My hand just flipped there. And I walked into class and I gave my lecture. Any questions? Those boys had planned for me. They did not know the Holy Spirit had planned for them. The way they planned for me, the Holy Spirit planned for them. One of them got up and asked one tough question, which, interestingly enough, I did not know the answer until 20 minutes ago. When I opened that and read just that portion of that book, I knew it was the Holy Spirit. Tossed my chalk up and down, turned around, went to the board as if it's one of those things. The truth was that the Holy Spirit led me to it just before I entered the class. I've taken exams before like that. I dreamt of a question. It was a very unlikely question. I thought it was for the level higher than mine. It was my part one postgraduate. I thought it was for the part two people who are the finalists. But Holy Spirit said, Banky, no. It is key to your passing this exam. Because you've gone everywhere, opening your mouth and declaring my name. And my name must not be disgraced. It was my key. So that night I slept and I dreamt of question number one. Go and read Gifted Hands by Ben Carson. God said, this boy, you are going somewhere in life. He's currently the leading candidate for the Republican Party. God said, I'm lifting you somewhere in life. I can't let you drop out of med school at this point. He cried to God for mercy. And suddenly his eyes opened. Whether he was sleeping or dreaming, he doesn't know. But he said, a shadowy figure came and began to solve problems on the board. And he was there watching. Went for the exam next day. Exactly what that spirit had come to show him on the screen came out in this exam. Expect grace. That's what I'm talking about. Expect grace. expect grace. In everything, I remember when I was used to work in the clinic business in Lagos, before I faced my pathology program fully. I was not experienced in taking deliveries. Yet, sometimes I covered the hospital at night. So every time my patients, when I come in, I find a woman in labor, and I'm the one that's supposed to cover the place at night. I walk up to the woman and say, "Hey, how are you doing? My name is Dr. So-and-so. I will be looking after you throughout the night. I want you to know a number of things. One, you will not have a problem while I'm on duty." What I didn't used to tell her is that I am not experienced enough to handle problems. I didn't tell her that side of it. Of course, I knew some basic things, you know, but look, it was a difficult period in Lagos. Nobody wanted to run up and down at night. If it's tough, I had to call my boss. So I said, "Listen, no, you are not going to have any problem at night." And I noticed something. I don't know why. Every delivery I took was a boy. So I started telling the women, "You deliver on my shift, your child is a boy." And you know, it didn't fail one time. Don't ask me why. Not one time. I said, Madam, you're going to have a boy. How do you know? I said, "Anytime I deliver, they're always boys." The only woman that wanted to spoil my testimony, I remember, she didn't deliver. I came in during the night. She was there. Labor was not progressing. I told her my normal story. Then, by the time I was closing work in the morning, she was still in labor. I said, "Well, madam, I'll see you later." She delivered 1 hour later. It was a girl. Don't ask me why. Don't ask me why. Now, why am I saying all of these things? I want us to understand that grace works in our normal life. It's not only preachers, sir. You get my point? As a teacher, you should teach with grace. If you get to a time, people say difficult students, when they get to your class, their heads become cool. I don't know how she does it, though, but once she handles them, they become cool, they start learning. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. There are designs, whether you're an engineer, you're an architect, you know, you're a computer designer, engineer, there are designs of technology that has not yet come down from heaven. Bible says he has hidden the secret wisdom for the upright. There is a word of wisdom. That's what I'm trying to explain. There is what? A word of wisdom. It is not the, what do you call it, the privilege of preachers. If you are going to possess the land, that's how God is going to do it. Joseph possessed the whole of Egypt, every single corner of land in Egypt, and every single human being in Egypt for Pharaoh. Why? While everybody was booming, grain boom, grain boom, grain boom, they were spending money recklessly. The man knew that this boom is for 7 years. He began to dig a hole that all of them will fall into. When the boom is over, he learned to preserve grain. He learned to manage the land. And when grain finished, next time they planted, it did not rain. Water didn't flow down the Nile. Things didn't work out well. Locusts ate some of it. Second year, their personal store went down. They went to the Pharaoh, "Help us." Said, "Go and meet Joseph." Joseph began to sell grain. In case you do not know, he bought the grain from them. It was a boom. They were selling it cheap. They were buying houses all over the place. They sold all those houses, all the land. They sold to Joseph for Pharaoh. After a while, all their money finished. They said, "What do we don't have anything again." He said, "You have land." They gave him the land for grain. So after a while, he lent them the land back as I was collecting taxes. After a while, they said, "We don't have land again." He said, "Boy, are you not human beings?" They sold themselves to Pharaoh. So after that time, they work. A portion of the work belongs to Pharaoh. Even though they don't own the land, once you are working, say you are using Pharaoh's body. Because of a word of what? Wisdom. You will possess your land. Somebody give me an amen.
Amen.
You've seen the way grace works. It's not that we're just sitting down, no. They just gave me the land. No. You will possess it. You get my point? You will work for it, not with your strength, but because grace entered into you. You will go to a difficult place Are you getting me? And you will bring forth a solution to solve a problem people thought was not could not be solved. There are even some things that God has placed in place for all of us. This is, you know, this is internet times. Let me just draw this for you. You don't need to go anywhere to be blessed. Somebody listening to me will be one of the first internet billionaires from Nigeria. You know, we don't have any yet. All Nigerian billionaires are people like Dangote, who are into construction, you know, factory building, oil business, people like Otedola, all those people that do. But people who do internet business, no. You say, why? People say, hey, what is it that they are looking for again? God has kept something. With everything they have done, there's something that God has kept. There is something that God has kept. Let me not start talking experience in business now. One young boy wrote a small game. The boy was from Malaysia or somewhere. And he was making $50,000 every day. Because people download the game from the app stores. And they have ads on it. You hear what I said? $50,000 every day. And they called it Flappy Bird. That's the name of the game. They said it was an annoyingly simple game. But annoyingly difficult. You look at it, it just looks like a normal 2D, not even 3D. Just look at it. They play it now. Call it Flappy Bird. That was some, I think it was last year that I think it was in the news. There's one game I see around. I just see the game around. I didn't even know it was anything. I don't play games. I'm not good with games on devices. Call it Candy Crush. It was sold for $5.9 billion. A small game on the phone. I'm not saying you should go and do game. I'm just trying to tell you that. No, do game if you have to. One of the things people don't understand, what I'm teaching here is this. One of the things people don't understand, that they don't understand that God is still working miracles. And he does miracles at home. That's my message. They think he does miracles in church alone. They go to business, they are not expecting a word of wisdom. They think all the problems must be solved in the United States and in Europe. If they don't can't handle it, go to India and go to China. They don't know that where they are, God has kept a wisdom that from here they can rule their world and rule the world. Please turn to your neighbor, please. Tell the person, I beg. Please now. Expect a word of wisdom. That's what I'm saying. God will give you a wisdom. He will give you a wisdom. He will give you a wisdom.
Amen.
Your own wisdom.
Amen.
God will give you your own wisdom for salvation.
Amen.
When God wants to bring forth salvation, what he gives is wisdom. I want to do something I don't do often. Please put up your hands. One hand is okay. Receive it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That wisdom will come to you. It will turn your business around.
Amen.
It will make you a Joseph that will win the whole land.
Amen.
There is a land that God said, go in and go and possess. You will possess your land in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The wisdom to do it, you know now, you know what that wisdom is now. Receive it now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Receive it now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Say after me, say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Say it in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I receive my wisdom.
And with that wisdom,
I bring down Goliath. With that wisdom,
I take over Egypt.
In the name of Jesus.
Say
it, wisdom is mine.
He has hidden wisdom for me.
Now say in the name of Jesus.
In the name
My wisdom, come to me.
I receive you.
Stay with me.
Stay with me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
That is what you need to overcome. Is wisdom. What did I call it?
Wisdom.
It's a spiritual manifestation, does not belong to preachers alone. It's a word of wisdom. Somebody before you didn't know it. You are the one that will introduce it. And please have confidence. Oh God. This was not what I wanted to preach of. You know, I said I should pause somewhere.
Yes.
Remember where I paused?
Yes.
Now remind me where I paused. Okay, all right. Thank you. Yes, I think I was. Okay, now, that's what I wanted to explain something, okay? That grace, now back to it. Please, I hope you've gotten the point about wisdom.
Yes.
That is your main message for today.
Yes.
That is what God came to give you today. You are living here feeling like wisdom is knocking in my head. Are you getting my point?
Yes.
So next time you say trouble, say wisdom. They bring two harlots with two children. One is dead, one is alive. Don't panic. What did I say? Say it loud. Say, I will not panic.
I will not panic.
You get to work. Your boss gives you an idea that, they give you a target, something to do. Everybody panics. Just tell yourself, I won't panic. Yesterday I received my wisdom. Or this morning I was listening to a message, and from it I received my wisdom. Because somebody will listen to this, all right? Maybe on the internet, on a device. You are forbidden from panicking. That's an instruction. You will not panic.
Amen.
I say you will not panic.
Amen.
Place where people say, okay, raise 10,000. Yes, maybe 10,000 something. And before that, the best they ever done is 500. The normal human being reacts like this. How can he? Very wicked. How could he have said that? Who has ever done it? I had the best salesman ever. Just relax. Don't say anything. Once you don't offend with your mouth, you are safe. When the man finishes talking, just say, I am able. I go to your office, sit down, relax, and say, wisdom is with me. I have the word of wisdom. Just be declaring this every day. Wisdom is with me. I have the word of wisdom. I have my word of wisdom. It's my own. Listen, you will sleep one night and dream a dream. And from that dream, you will know what to do. You wake up one morning, it will just be clear. You will come to work, you are smiling. Nobody knows why you are smiling. And one thing I like about divine wisdom like that, especially when you are working for somebody else, is that when you present it, the man's mouth will open. Yes. When Joseph presented his wisdom to Pharaoh, Pharaoh knew there was something. Pharaoh had faith in that wisdom immediately. He said, no, give this boy the job. Back to my matter of grace. That's how grace works, though. We overcome by grace. We overcome not by our own struggle. When we are going for the interview and we have a certificate that's not as impressive as that of the other people, we are not worried. Not because the other nine will just die. It will be only me. No, don't die. Why should they die? Everybody will be there. We will now sit down to talk. That's the issue. When we start talking, we start uttering the wisdom of God. When people hear it, they say, what? You said this man did not get a Harvard MBA. They say no. He doesn't even have an MBA anything. Are you serious? How come he has this kind of wisdom? When they are giving you the job, it's not because they realize that you're a child of a king. They don't want to offend the king. Don't go and be harassing people with that. You know I'm a Christian. You give me the job. You know Christians, they can be very annoying. They come and intimidate you. They see you in their church. Good afternoon, sir. Good afternoon, sir. You were the chairman of the interview that was there yesterday. Only. That is corruption. What did I call it?
Corruption.
It's corruption. That's why I teach medical students. All right? I teach medical students. You don't see them here. I teach fourth year. I banned one by somebody. They said, please, I heard you do it to you on radio. I heard you preach somewhere. Where is the place? I described it. I said, but you know you are not welcome there. Look at me. I said, no, you haven't passed pathology. When you pass, many of you know Diogo and George. When they finished pathology, I came and said, good afternoon, sir. Can we start coming for Bible study? I said, oh, you are welcome. You are welcome. Now you are welcome. I don't want anybody to come and do eye service. Because even if you are my wife, if you fail, I fail you. The only advantage that you will know ahead of everybody else that you have failed. I will tell you at home, Okay? See, this is your mark. So don't bother coming out today. Be crying at home while I go to work. The Lord is good. I know that. In case you do, that's why my students know you are banned. But when you have passed, we cannot be friends in the ministry. Praise God. You can sit down there. Hey, hallelujah. He said, but I want to hear you. Go book the CD behind my back. Go and listen to it in the hostel. Why am I saying all of these things? It is not somebody who looks at you and say, yeah, the child of a king. That's why they're giving you a job, giving you the contract. God, now I'm praying now. God will give you the spirit of excellence.
Amen.
It will show in all that you do.
Amen.
If you lay block, the laying of it will be so excellent, they will call men to come and look.
Amen.
If it's clothes you make, people will look and say, what gave you this skill? If it's children you teach, the kind of insight that they will have, that spirit of excellence is your portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That spirit of excellence will distinguish you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Listen, you are the light that will shine from this nation.
Amen.
Your name will become a global brand.
Amen.
For the sake of excellence, by reason of the excellence that will be upon it. That's what the name is. Your name, listen to this, will be good in Jesus' name.
Amen.
People will see it. And you will be the reason why people will know that, if it is from this country, it must be good. That is your testimony in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That's how God helps us to overcome the land. That is what he does. This is how we overcome the land. This is how we take the land. That is what grace does. Grace makes you excellent. I hope you are getting my point. Grace makes you what?
Excellent.
Grace gives you skill. When David was going to face Goliath, he knew he would kill Goliath. He was not praying to kill Goliath. He prayed long before Goliath came up. The day of Goliath's encounter, the man looked at Goliath as he was approaching. Instantly, he knew what to do. That's why he confidently dropped the spear. The boy did not have a suicidal tendency. He was not ready to die for Israel. He was willing to live for God. I hope you're getting my point.
Yes,
I'm not saying the guy didn't love God enough to die for God, but that was not the plan for that day. Another day will die for you. Today we have to live for you. When he went to face Goliath, it was not because if I die, that was for Esther. It was Esther that was doing, if I perish, let me perish. There's a time to be an Esther. Amen?
Amen.
But there are times to be David. And David does not talk, if I perish, I perish. David knew only one thing. The enemy will perish. That was the one David understood. My message is the method of perishing them. Is that English good? David knew what to use to make the enemies perish. He knew how to destroy them. That as soon as he approached, he said, this Goliath, I know how it's going down. He was not there to come and see God of miracle do something strange. Instantly, the God of miracle had done it in his heart. Once he picked up those stones, when he picked up his sling, he knew what he was going to do. Those men could sling a stone, you would think it's a bullet that's flying past. Your own wisdom will also be clear to you.
Amen.
That is what grace does for you. That's what I'm emphasizing. But because of time, what I really wanted to do today, I didn't get to it. Because where I was building up to, maybe I'll continue next time. What I was building up to is how grace comes. Grace comes by faith. It has to be by faith. Romans chapter 4 was what we're going to read next, but we didn't get there. That it might be in accordance with grace. The major thing, let me just say, then I close with it. Maybe I'll build on it next time. The major thing about grace, the flow of grace, is whether we are activating it by faith or we are not activating it. What is faith? Let me end with it. I want to use different words to explain faith now. Faith is a heart attitude, is a way of reasoning, is accepting what the Lord says as final. That's what faith is. Faith is when I base all my judgments on the word of God. That's what faith is. Faith is, I want to add one to it. Faith is when the son of oil, when a prophetic word comes forth, and I say amen to it, even if it doesn't make sense to me. That's what faith is. For example, I've seen it before. I hope you are not, if you are not one of them, in Jesus' name, don't do the kind of thing I want to say. You finish talking, somebody say, in this country, things don't work. You say, how can you develop a game when power is not even constant? That is what they call unbelief. What did I call it?
Unbelief.
That is what stops the flow of grace. Doubt or unbelief is when we have excuses for why grace should not flow. Doubt, unbelief is when I have a good explanation for why I can't take the land. If only my father had sent me to that school. Look at my friend that went. That time my father was in, there was no money. Meanwhile, he was building his house. Now my friend that went to do his MBA in Harvard, look at the job he got. In 1 year, he built a bigger house for his father. My father was very foolish. And the young man who wants to make progress is talking like this. That is what they call the end of grace. Let us share the grace. And that is that one. We share it. Peace is his grace. That's the issue. He's having every explanation for why I won't make progress. And that is another thing. You know somebody who's not respecting grace. Those are big people now. Those are big people. One of my friends does that thing. It's very annoying. If I hear somebody say, you know you're a big man now. My wife is looking at me. It's not my friend. And I wonder, I say, stop saying that. It's very annoying. Because once you say you're a big man, you mean you are a small man. That's what you're saying. You see somebody say, you know it's a big man thing. So I say, oh boy, take your time seriously. I said, take your time seriously. You get me angry with this big man thing you always say. Because when you say it, what you are doing there, you are saying, you know, I'm a small man now. As a child of God, never look at anybody as if you know he has an advantage. Once you say that, you don't get the point. You are telling yourself, I don't have that advantage. I am disadvantaged. That way, you are closing the flow of grace. Those are the people. What are we? We are nobodies. That's what he has said. Grace is activated by what? By faith. What I came to do today was to get all of us. I wanted to take us through like 20 scriptures to activate grace. But time has gone. Maybe we'll do it next time. Let's rise to our feet. Let us close. Let's just declare simple things, because that's what activates grace. Now we're going to just start with, we don't have much time, all right? We'll just take a few confessions. That's actually what I wanted to do most of today. I just wanted to introduce why. But then the issue of word of wisdom now came up. And we have all received our wisdom in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Wisdom to carry you far is your portion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Wisdom to overcome your land is your portion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Wisdom to take your own Egypt like Joseph did in Egypt is already your portion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
As you see your Goliath, listen to me, what to do to bring him down will be clear to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Listen, if you think you are walking by faith, you are not ready yet. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. Anybody say that, hey, I'm doing this thing by faith, you are not ready to do it. The man who is doing it, he knows I am doing it. You know, you are the one that thinks he's walking by faith. He is sure. He is clear. I don't know whether you are getting my point. It has gone beyond just his faith. I know what I am doing. The Bible says Jesus knew what he would do. He had only 5 loaves and 2 fish, but he knew what he would do. It was faith, we know, but he wasn't feeling the way some of people feel. I'm going to do it by faith. He just knew what he would do. That faith has become clear. Such will be your clarity in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When you go to bid for a big contract, you want to bless people with your ability. The Holy Spirit will tell you the exact figures to write. And you will know it. And it's not as if you're not a glutton for punishment. You're not trying to make a loss. He gives you wisdom on where to cut down your costs so that you'll be very efficient. Men will see it and say, how did you manage to do it? Then you'll be able to say, there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gave me understanding. That will be your testimony in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It is grace. It is activated by faith. Now let's activate it. Say, in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I have received grace
by my faith in Christ
Jesus.
I
can receive the grace of God.
I can hold that glory.
Because his spirit dwells inside me. Say this, I am not beneath.
I am not beneath.
I am not disadvantaged.
I am not disadvantaged.
Education is not my qualification.
Say, my education
is not my qualification.
My qualification
is the grace of Christ.
Now
listen to this. The people out there, like I said, they may not know that. But you know it. How will they know it? Listen to this. Your wisdom will manifest.
Amen.
That's how they will know it. Now say, in the name of Jesus,
my wisdom,
it will manifest. When Pharaoh heard the wisdom of Joseph, you know, he understood what was going on. He knew it was superior. When they called Daniel to come and do his work, they said, we heard that there is a spirit in you. We heard that your wisdom is like that of the gods. We heard that you have a spirit of understanding. Are you getting my point? Now declare, say, in the name of Jesus,
my wisdom will come forth,
and the Pharaoh will understand. Say,
in the name of Jesus,
my wisdom will come forth, and Belshazzar will understand. Say, in the name of Jesus Christ,
my wisdom
will produce
to bless people
on this earth,
and they will see it,
and they will understand.
Listen,
it's not as if you say things people don't understand. And they say, what is he talking about? No. When you produce it, their eyes will open. Their mouths will drop. There is a new kind of key you will sing in a song. The world will know they haven't heard it before. God will give you the tone of angels.
Amen.
You are singing songs, you are playing instruments. There's a combination of keys men have never played before. God will send you an angel to play a guitar in your hearing. You will play a tune. The best musicians will pause to say, who played that? That is what God does for us believers. We're not those people who feel sorry for us. Say, he's a child of God, give him favor. That's what people think grace is. That's why I was talking about grace, the way I was talking about it. People make it look as if, I just entered the place, you all pitied me, unmerited favor. Grace is not pity. Do you get my point? Grace is not pity. Grace is power. The man, the woman walking by grace comes and opens the mouth. And the other people say, what? What was that? Who gave this young woman this level of insight? That's what grace is. Grace is not, they just saw that my father has been suffering. So they just gave me the job. Praise the Lord, by grace, I did not deserve it. Nonsense, nonsense. When God does that for you, go. You know what he tells you? I want to tell you now. See that you tell no man. There are miracles God will do. Say, I didn't know anything. I just went for that exam. Do you know I passed? Don't share that testimony. It's a disgrace. How can you, child of God, not know anything? A whole child of God. That exam I was telling you about, you know what God did? I made one terrible blunder. I told you it was crucial to God that I passed that exam. But I made a terrible blunder based on unbelief. It was based on unbelief. My blunder was based on unbelief. It's a postgraduate exam. We had and the way they did it, that was one area you had to pass or nothing. You failed that area, you failed everything. And God knew that I was going to blunder. That's why he helped me ahead of time. My blunder was a blunder of unbelief. It wasn't a blunder of intelligence. Honestly, I almost failed. I'm going somewhere. When God wanted to deliver me, the professor, my prof, that marked the essays, he testified that my essay was too beautiful. He said, man, this boy writes a beautiful essay. It was because the essay so impressed him. Now, why did I tell the story? When grace wanted to work, it wasn't just Peleo. It was God said, let me show excellence to overcome his unbelief. When the man read the essay I wrote because of a dream, he said, this guy is too good. That is what grace does. Grace makes you good. Grace makes you diligent. Grace makes you wise. Grace makes you excellent. Grace makes you 10 times better. I declare to you, you are 10 times better in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Say it, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I have the Spirit of Christ.
I have the Spirit of Christ.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
That Spirit is the Spirit of excellence.
That Spirit.
That spirit has within it
the spirit of Daniel.
The spirit of Daniel.
That spirit has within it
the spirit of Joseph.
I have wisdom.
My word of wisdom.
I solve that problem.
And I am rewarded for it.
To the glory of his most holy name.
Said, my sufficiency is of God.
He has made me sufficient.
As a minister of the new covenant.
That's what you are. A minister of the new covenant. I hope you are blessed today.
Let's share the grace in fellowship.
Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.